We would now have our responsive reading found on page 854, 55, Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways.
Even before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it all together.
You pursue me behind and before and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful. It is high. I cannot attain it.
Whither shall I go from your spirit?
Or whither shall I flee from your presence?
If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there.
If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me.
If I say, let only darkness cover me, and the light about me be night.
Even the darkness is not dark to you, the night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you.
For it is you who formed my inward parts.
You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I praise you, for you are fearful and wonderful.
Wonderful are your words.
You know me very well.
My frame was not hidden from you, but I will communicate in secret, intricately wrought in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes beheld my uniform substance.
In your book were written the days that you were born from me, every day you brought it again to me.
How profound to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them.
If I look on them, they are more than sufficient. When I awake, I still know with you.
Oh, that you should slay the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me.
Those who maliciously defy you, who will themselves out against you, are evil.
Do I not hate them that hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe them that rise up against you?
I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts.
And see if there is any way in me, and lead me in the way I have lost.
Our second reading from the Hebrew Bible comes from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. You can find it in your pew Bible in the front there on page 236. As always, I recommend that you follow along with it as I read it. Now, the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord again called, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord God called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20, which can be found on page 158 of your New Testament Pew Bible. Hear these words. "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is meant not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will raise us also by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said the two shall be one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. It's important, if you have read forward and you know this story, you'll recognize that it is right after Jesus has been baptized by John the Baptist. He has, in fact, called the very first of his disciples, most notably Simon Peter. And so this passage follows directly after it. So John chapter 1, 43 through 51 on 87 in the New Testament of your Pew Bible. "The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.' Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth.' Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?' Philip said to him, 'Come and see.' When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, 'Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit.' Nathanael asked him, 'Where did you get to know me?' Jesus answered, 'I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you.' Nathanael replied, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.' Jesus answered, 'Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these.' And he said to him, Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, my guess is if you are at all a student of the Bible, you may well share with me an opinion. And that my opinion is that some of my favorite parts of the Bible are the wonderful stories, the stories that you find there. Because I believe that at our hearts, we as human beings are attracted to a good, engaging story. Maybe we're drawn into stories because we see ourselves in some of the characters and we in turn empathize with them. I believe that this is exactly what God had in mind, that we should see ourselves in the characters of the Bible and we should learn a lesson from those stories. When you come to think of it, though, I think the entire Bible is itself a story. It is the story of God's unfailing and unconditional love. The story of God's calling to God's people. And the story of our collective response to God, sometimes following the Lord very closely, more often than not falling away quite a bit from God's path. Well, as you think through the characters that you know from the Bible, you may discover some interesting patterns. Think about Abraham and Sarah. Think about Moses. Think about Jonah. Think about Mary, the mother of God. And then from today's readings, think about Samuel. And then think about Philip and Nathaniel. Each of these people was called by God to do a specific task. Each of these people was asked to respond to God's love in a way that moved God's kingdom forward. When you think about it, when you read about or hear about these biblical characters, do you see yourself in these people? Do you see yourself in these characters from the Bible? Does God call only certain people? Does God call only special people, only holy and pious people? No, not at all. God loves every person. And God calls every person to some task in this life. Think about that. God loves you. Not because of anything you said or did or anything you believe. God loves you without condition, just because you are you, one of God's creatures. And because God loves you, God wants you to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. God has a plan for you, a role that you were meant to play in the church and in God's mission to the entire world. Now think about that. When you consider that in your heart of hearts, I believe that you know it's true. God is calling you. He's asking you to be part of the kingdom design. But how do you respond to God's call on your life? Do you respond with trepidation, just as so many of the biblical characters did? Not me, Lord. You must have the wrong person. I couldn't possibly do that. I've already done those tasks. Think about Moses or Jonah. That was exactly their response. Or do you respond in the manner of Samuel, listening attentively to God's call in the night, getting up three times to try to understand what God is saying to you? Well, think about Mary, or the stories of any of the 12 original disciples. Each of them seemed to respond openly and with almost immediate acceptance. Is that you? On this Human Relations Day, I find myself thinking about that more recent disciple, whose work and legacy we will celebrate tomorrow, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. As I said earlier, MLK is a role model of mine, a true giant in the civil rights movement in this country. But Dr. King was a tireless advocate of the rights of all people, working to end war and poverty and hunger and racism. Do you believe that he was always fully committed to the cause that would ultimately claim his life? Not at all. Dr. King had doubts and worries just like every one of us. It would have been much easier for him to simply be the pastor that he had originally been, but God was calling him to something more. And clearly, Dr. King stepped up to answer God's call fully and faithfully. Do you consider yourself to be in the same spiritual category as Moses or Mary or Samuel or Martin Luther King Jr.? Maybe not. But more importantly, God does. God knows you. God has faith in you, and God knows what you're capable of doing. God knows you better than you know yourself. Listen again to these words from Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. God knows you and God is calling you. You should listen to that call. You should discern the true calling from something coming from within you. And then you should respond openly and out of love. When God calls, you should respond in a true reflection of the love of Christ, not with blind works, but rather in specific ways that further God's kingdom on earth. My sisters and brothers, it's not only a question of whom God calls, but rather to what does God call you and how are you to respond? Make no mistake, God is calling you. How closely will you follow Jesus? Amen.